this is Spencer Lee, and welcome to a couple of very special editions of Almost Saturday Night. Last Christmas, there was a great reaction when BBC Radio Merseyside broadcast a concert given by the American singer-songwriter John Stewart at the Floral Pavilion, New Brighton. While John Stewart was here, I spoke to him about all aspects of his career, including his days with the Kingston Trio, the writing of Daydream Believer, and his legendary solo album, California Bloodlines. It was a remarkable interview with a remarkable man, and I'm so pleased with it that I've decided to spread it over two programs. So this week and next, I'll be talking to John Stewart and playing some more of his music from that memorable concert in New Brighton. This week you'll be hearing John Stewart and his wife Buffy Ford with their tribute to the Kennedys, All the Brave Horses. John Stewart was born in San Diego, California in 1939, and I asked him first about the rock and roll performers that he'd seen in his youth.
I saw Elvis Presley at the Pan Pacific Auditorium in L.A. in 1958. And that was right when Hound Dog was out. And right when he was, you know, he still had the stand-up bass. And he had the Jordanaires. And it was unbelievable. I was shaken by the concert. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, the energy coming off that stage. And his voice was so strong, you know. And he was having so much fun doing it. And I saw Fats Domino came to Pomona one night. The Rainbow Gardens. We went down and saw Fats, and there was another element. He came out with the big rings and smiling. It was so relaxed, you know. I thought, wow, rock and roll, you know. And then I did a show at the Pomona County Fairgrounds. It was a big radio show there, a big radio award show. And on the show was the Kingston Trio. Tom Dooley just came out. Johnny Cash. He was this lean, hungry guy, you know, singing I Walk the Line. A group called the Teddy Bears with Phil Spector doing To No, No, No. You know. Richie Valens doing La Bamba. A group called, my mind is gone this morning. They did Tequila.
The Champs.
Champs, yeah.
But my favorite on stage was Gene Vincent. Did you ever see
Never him? Got to see him, no.
And Eddie Cochran, he did his tour here on which he was killed.
Oh, Eddie Cochran. I mean, when Summertime Blues came out, you know, I thought, oh my God, who is this guy? You know, I mean, that was a time, and the Everly Brothers, you know, one hit after another, and each one being different than the next. I really miss that now, Spence. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago that it was happening when a record would come out and just totally blow me away. I mean, I would be shaken by it, you know. I mean, the world would always look differently because of that record. And that doesn't happen for me anymore.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler. About a working on summer just to try to earn a dollar. Yeah, every time I call my baby, try to get a date. My boss says,
"No die, son, you gotta work late."
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Were you playing rock and roll yourself?
A rock and roll band in high school. I really loved playing the old songs. And they still weren't old at that point. I mean, the Jerry Lee Lewis songs and Elvis Presley and Buddy Holly and Little Richard and those. And so my roots were really rock and roll. But then when folk came along, and I was in college, and it was indeed the music of the college people at that time. You could do it with one guitar. And you could have a group with two guitars, and you'd have to carry equipment around. And very much it was like rock and roll, and there was a very singable chorus, and there were fun songs, but these told a story, and they had adventure to them. And I was really captivated by that, and the five-string banjo, this totally alien instrument to me that had this magic dronal sound to it. So I quickly went from rock and roll to folk, and was totally obsessed by that at that time.
And presumably you remember the day that you asked to join the Kingston Trio.
No, I don't really. I was in New York, and I had heard some rumors about Dave Gard leaving, and I called Nick Reynolds, a member of the group, and I said, Nick, what's going on? He said, I don't know, but keep in touch, will you? And so I did, and he said, John, why don't you come on out? And I auditioned, actually, with a few other guys, and flew out to Sausalito with my then-wife, Julie, who was pregnant, and we stayed at a hotel, and I auditioned, and I sat around for a couple of days, and they called and said, you got the job. The album Close Up was the first album I did with them.
And let's have a song from Close Up. Which should we pick?
From Close Up, I'd say, Reuben James, without a doubt.
Have you heard of the ship called the Good Reuben James? Armed by hard-fighting men, both of honor and of fame. She flew the stars and stripes of the land of the free. But tonight she's in her grave at the bottom of the sea. So tell me what were the names, tell me what were the names. Did you have a friend of Good Reuben James? Won't you tell me what were the names, tell me what were the names. Did you have a friend of Good Reuben James? 100 men went down to their dark and watery graves. When that good ship went down, on 44 was saved. 'Twas the last day of October, they saved 44 from the dark, icy waters of that cold Iceland shore. Oh, tell me what were the names, tell me what were the names. Did you have a friend of Good Reuben James? Oh, tell me what were the names, tell me what were the names. Did you have a friend of Good Reuben James?
When you came to Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Pete Seeger had written that sometime before, had he?
Pete Seeger wrote the music. Anton Chekhov, the great Russian poet, had written the words to it. And we got it from... We were in Boston at the time, playing in town, and we went to a folk club there, and there was a new group appearing there called Peter, Paul, and Mary. And there's about 8 people in the audience, and they did Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And we looked at each other and went, are you kidding me? And we heard that Pete Seeger had written it, so we knew it had to be on a Pete Seeger album somewhere. So we went out, and I dug up the song and wrote the chords out, and we learned it immediately, and went in the studio within 10 days, I think, and recorded it. Peter, Paul, and Mary have never forgiven us for that.
Was it a controversial song at the time?
Yeah, it was. In a way, it was. Anti-war sentiments were not as popular then as they are now.
I mean, it's really as relevant now as it was then.
It will always be relevant. It would have been relevant 10,000 years ago, and it will always be relevant.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone, long time ago? Where have all the flowers gone, young girls pick them, everyone? When will they ever learn, when will they ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone, long time passing? Where have all the young girls gone, long time ago? Where have all the young girls gone, gone to young men, everyone? When will they ever learn, when will they ever learn? Where have all the young men gone, long time passing? Where have all the young men gone, long time ago? Where have all the young men gone, gone for soldiers, everyone? When will they ever learn, when will they ever learn?
have all the soldiers gone a long, long time ago? Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago. Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flowers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
Talking of these anti-war songs, do you remember when you first heard Bob Dylan?
Oh, clearly. Clearly. I had heard about Dylan. We were in New York, and Dylan was the enfant terrible of the village at that time. And he would come into this bar called the Dugout, where everyone would congregate. And fellows would say, "There's Dylan over there." And he was very much to himself and sort of would slink over and walk in. And he had a single out called Corina, Corina. Living's alone. And it came up with, "That is unbelievable," we thought. And we were, you know, we were very much aware of Dylan. And Dylan's manager, Albert Grossman, sent me a tape of some Dylan songs for the trio to record. One of was Mr. Tambourine Man. And I confess, I sent it back and said, I have no idea what this guy's talking about at all. You know, but the first time I heard Times They Are A-Changin', I couldn't believe it. And Blown in the Wind, I think, was the first real Dylan song that caught us. And then when I heard Times They Are A-Changin', I still think it is one of the most powerful records ever recorded by anyone. One guitar and one voice. And but in all the years, I've never met Dylan.